I like to stay in things because, well, if we move too fast, how many of you can easily forget? And forgetfulness comes with what? Well, let's just throw it out there. Put it on the line. Forgetfulness comes with carnality. The carnal mind always wars against the spirit, does it not? So is the carnal mind always after the spirit realm to make you forget it? Right on. So the Holy Ghost is here, whether it be in you or whether it be in us. The Holy Ghost will never let us forget. How many's happy about that? I am too. The Holy Ghost will never let us forget. And so, you know, there's some things that we want to continue in. We're clarifying. I'm real happy what God's been doing. Very happy. I mean, I think everybody in here among us now is very willing to go through testing and wilderness and hear from God, aren't we? We come through that, right? We've got that settled in our heart. We're ready for God to call us out of Egypt, put us in a wilderness if need be. We showed a little bit about the New Testament on Wednesday, but the Lord is doing a great thing. But if you're ready to let the Lord do His will, then you're ready to move into spiritual things. Because the greatness, the great thing about being tested is so that everything of the devil can be separated from you, right? Separated. Isn't that what you want? It's what we've been doing, isn't it? Is you want that wicked one to be separated from you. And if you could have that happen, what does that mean for you? If the wicked one is separated from you, what does that mean for you? Salvation, I like that. What else? What's that tell you about you? It brings you unto God. In other words, it puts you on the Lord's side, right? If the devil's on the other side, where does that leave you? On the Lord's side. You're with the Lord now. That's what this whole journey's been about up to this point, is to bring you to a place of separation unto the Lord and the devil's other. We've said that 1,000 times, haven't we? Okay. So how many remember on a Monday night we dealt with the prayer of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9? Remember that? When he was provoked to pray a prayer and ask God for forgiveness, not just for himself, but for all the people of God. What a prayer, huh? Have you looked at that prayer? How many of you actually went to pray that prayer? Did Gabriel show up? Gabriel showed up for Daniel and told him some amazing things. How many remember the point that we were making that night, that sometimes when you're even in a captivity, because we made a separation between the wilderness, that's for testing, and then the captivity, a lot of times you get put in captivity because of what? Sin, rebellion, wickedness. And so if you've ever found yourself in a captivity of the enemy, it's probably because some sin is present. And God wants to deal with that sin. Gabriel showed up and let Daniel know that this prayer is a good prayer. Your intent is awesome. But I'm doing something here. Not only did I put them in captivity for 70 years, I have a work that I'm doing. I'm wanting to reveal not only this enemy of Babylon here in the flesh, but I'm wanting to reveal this great wicked one that is to come, the one that I'm going to deal with in the heart of everybody. And so was the captivity needful in that regard? How many would be willing to go through a captivity if sin's in your life to let God purge that wicked one out? Would you be willing? I do have a better way. Why don't you just repent up front? How about that? How many would rather not go through the captivity because you're willing to repent? How about that? But all the stubbornness that works in everybody, sometimes will not let you repent. Guess what's coming? Ooh, captivity. Captivity. Ah. See, a wilderness is meant to help you come to repentance. If you won't repent, wilderness is done. Guess what you're going in now? Captivity. Everybody see it? Wilderness helps you test and repent and see the glory of God. God comes, he knows you have sin. Listen, God is not angry at you for having sin. You know what he gets angry at? The fact that you won't repent to it. So you want to make God mad? That's right. I hope everybody said no. See, God is happy. God loves his people. God knows that sin exists. You think he's up there moaning and groaning and having a hard time because sin is present? Or is he willing to have mercy on his people and show the forgiveness? Yes, that's what he is. He's a good God. He's merciful. He's loving. He wants us to come to him. And he understands what happened in Adam. He understands what happened in you. He understands it. As a matter of fact, it's part of his story. So he's not going to hold you in captivity unless when he comes to you and comes to you and comes to you and you just won't repent. Then God's going to have a problem, Keith, isn't he? He's going to have a problem. So how many times have you not repented when God's come to you? And then you're in captivity, and then you wonder why. Look at the story of the New Testament, and it revisits the old by saying, how many times have I visited your fathers, your generations, over and over again? Here we are in this church today. We have opportunity to repent. Every time the Lord shows us an iniquity within us, we have chance to repent, don't we? Because you're saved. Aren't you already saved? So it's not like you're getting saved for the first time, but you are being saved from every enemy that's in you. That's awesome to me. So salvation's working every day, Tim. So every chance you get to repent, Micah, you want to repent. Every chance. It only means that God is still purging out all the wickedness, okay? But Daniel, when Gabriel showed up, he was going to show him this great man of sin, this antichrist that was going to rise up, that you will have to deal with. But let me help you with something. What I'm here to do today, I want to divide something for you. How many of you know that there's a difference between what Paul teaches as the old man, the body of sin, and the man of sin? How many knows there's a difference? There's a difference. And I'm going to show it to you today. Now, there's a difference. When you talk about, and you know what? I'm going to let you read all this, okay? Romans 6, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, okay? Those are the three chapters that Paul specifically deals with the old man. Romans 6, Ephesians 4, and Colossians 3. Do you know that, as a matter of fact, pull up Romans 6. I won't read them all. I'm just going to read a little portion. Did you know that in the dealing with the old man, he is dealing with the Adam nature or the fallen nature of Adam? The lies, the cheating, the stealing, the adulteries, the fornications, all of that that works in the flesh. When he deals with, matter of fact, in the old man, The old man is used as an example of one who will repent. Did you know that? The man of sin is used as one who will not repent. Satan has entered his heart, son of perdition, will not repent, cannot find repentance, one who will sit in the temple of God and call himself God. Now, the old man has attributes of that same thought because Satan is behind both of them. Everybody understand? I'm trying to keep it real simple. But the old man, in the nature of Adam, you have chance to repent. And that's what I have asked you to do. That's what God has asked us to do, is find repentance. But Tim, if the old man of Adam is there, isn't there a promise that we could repent?
Yes.
There is, isn't there? But when you deal with the man of sin, there's no repentance. So do you know what you need? You need Jesus to come on the Lord's day and destroy that joker. You need something to destroy him with. So what I'm doing here today is this. If I can show you that you have become a new man created in Christ Jesus, that is the new man that is going to stand up against the man of sin. Does that make sense? Because you cannot overcome the man of sin that works to destroy you until the new man is working there. Does everybody get that? That's the division I want to make here. So in Romans 6, I'm going to show you something here real simple, okay? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now notice something. He's talking to people here. And he's saying, basically asking the question, shall we continue in sin? What does that insinuate? That, well, it insinuates that you are either still in sin, but it also tells me that I don't have to continue in sin. That's what it tells me. Everybody see that? Shall we continue in sin? Tim, that's a hope. Have you ever looked at that question as a hope? Like, oh, is he saying I don't have to continue in sin? See, he's going to deal with the old man here. The old man can be changed to the new. He don't have to continue in sin. You could put down the old man. You could put him off, which that's what Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, Paul uses the terminology, put off the old man with its lying and stealing and adulteries. He's showing us you don't have to continue in sin. If grace is present, you may still deal with some sin, but you don't have to continue in it. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in sin? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? He's setting it up. If there's a place you don't have to continue in sin, where's it going to be? In Jesus, in what? In his death. In other words, you're going to be dead to sin. He's setting it up, right? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, Tim. This is a new man. Newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, our old self, our old body of sin, is crucified with him, that this body of sin might be destroyed henceforth, that we should not serve sin. Now, destroyed there means destroyed is to put off. It's to be dead to. Okay? So notice he symbolizes the old man and the body of sin as the same thing. How do you act out sin but be in the body of sin? Are you the body of Christ or are you the body of sin? Which one? Ah, well then why would you act like a body of sin unless you don't understand it? I'm telling you, as the word of the Lord has come to this church, what has he made all of us? New? Are we walking in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which is in newness of life? Right? Look, I'm making a point here. Verse 7, he that is dead is free from sin. Is it spiritually dead or like an earthly, physically dead type of thought? Spiritually. But it's dead in Christ. You see that? You're changing deaths here. The death of Adam for the death of Christ. If you're in the death of Christ, you're putting off the old man and you're putting on Christ, which is newness of life, right? We know this. This is Bible 101. This is Jesus 101. This is salvation 101. This is newness of life 101, right? Everybody's already walking in this, aren't you? Everybody say, yes, sir. I am. Verse 8. Now if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now notice there's a belief has to work here. That means you're still present in the flesh. Because remember this thought I've been after for so many years? Can you walk in the Spirit while still in the flesh? This is it. This is it. Okay, Paul says, I serve Christ with my mind, with this newness of life. I'm born of God. I'm changing bodies, okay? And knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. He's telling us how we're going to walk as a new person here. Okay, verse 11 and verse 12 is what I want to get to. Likewise, reckon, consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go ahead and read verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, your body of flesh, the body that can die. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, you don't have to go there, but neither yield your members. Don't yield. What is it helping us see? Basically, my point is this. In the old man, sin reigns, doesn't he? Yes. In the new man, you put off the body of sin. You put on a new body. You're born of God. You're now walking in newness of life. You're walking in the resurrection that he has resurrected in. You're walking in the spirit of resurrection now. So, James, where... do you have to contend with sin or are you free from sin? Free. You're free. Free. You've put off the old man. But notice you're still in mortality. You're still in the flesh. But does flesh have power over you now, Tim? No. Because you've put off old man thinking. You've put off the mortality thinking. So how did Jesus walk in the flesh and have power over sin, Don? Because he put off old man thinking. It's the true inner man, Gary said. It's what the Lord has been doing in us the whole time is bringing us to a new man. And why is this so valuable to us to know the difference here? Because once you establish that you're a new man, now you can stop dealing with all the nature of flesh and blood and sin and death. Now you can turn your attention to the kingdom of God, and now your fight's going to be with the devil and his Antichrist and his man of sin and his evil work that's coming. You say, oh, no, I'm facing the man of sin. Most of you have not even seen the man of sin yet. You have seen the old man, and you have contended with fleshly desires, and you have contended with lust and perversions and pride and anger and jealousy, all of that. But let me tell you what happens when you face a wicked one who will not repent, who stands in the temple of God and says, I am God. That's a whole nother level, isn't it? That's a whole nother level. So what is God preparing our church for? He's preparing us for the end. Gary's already prophesied the day of the Lord will come. What do you think that is? Well, here's a cool part, okay? How many times have you guys read in this church 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? It does feel like hundreds of times. Over 20 years, we've read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 many, many, many times. So all of you should know it by heart. What's it say? It says the day of the Lord will not come until what happens? The falling away. And the man of sin is revealed. Oh, you're like, my God, I thought overcoming the old man was tough. Let me tell you something. None of it's tough. Not through the perception of Jesus. It's all easy. You know what makes it tough, right? Did we get this part understood yet? What makes it tough, Julie? We do. Why, though? We fight it. Why? Why do we fight it? Because we won't yield to the Lord. Why? I sound like my granddaughter now. Why? 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 Why do we fight against it so much? Why do we not yield to the Lord? How many remember James chapter 4? The war is there because of what, Tim? The lust that's in our members. See, if you're still fighting the lust and the war in your members, you're in the old man. Dan. Go ahead, please. Get him a microphone.
This is really awesome stuff. The thing that backs and gives power to that lust you're talking about is false doctrine, heresies, seditions. This is why people can't overcome, bro. They're in lies. False doctrine. That's what that enemy, the man of sin, did. He's hidden behind all of that.
Yes.
And we won't change, Julie, because we're believing things that we shouldn't be believing. And you're showing them how to get out of it.
Now, I got to piggyback off that for a second, because Gary was in Boise on this. How many Sundays and Mondays and Wednesdays have we talked about over the last 3 weeks yielding and humbling ourselves to the Lord, right? And doing what? Obeying the commandments, keeping Jesus' words, things like that. In other words, what Gary just said shows the old man has power because of false doctrine. But if we replace that, Tim, you said it this morning as well, if we replace that with good word and good doctrine and good teachings, will the old man be done away with? Yeah. Because here's the thing. If we struggle to yield to the presence of God in an old man, when that man of sin is revealed and stands before us, what do you think's going to happen when you're not established on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the apostles and prophets? You think? Eat your lunch, huh? I mean, I hate when somebody takes my lunch. And it's like, It's like a bully. The man of sin is like a bully. He just walks in and slaps you around, takes your lunch, and walks away. And it's like you can do nothing about it, Tim. But what if you're a man and woman of God who's dealt with that old man thing? Look, the old man is your salvation. That's your repentance from the nature of Adam. Are we going to deal with the nature of Adam for so long that we can't even face what's coming? You need to get over yourself. What's the initials for that, Julie? G-O-Y. G-O-Y. Get over yourself.
So you're saying people are stuck in Adam.
Stuck in Adam and can't get out. There's only one thing to get you out. I know you're going to say Jesus. It's a word of God coming to you, and you find in repentance in Jesus Christ, and you die to sin. Adam brought sin into the world. And see, I get it why the old man and the man of sin can be thrown into the same pot. It makes sense. It's like the man of sin is a higher advanced version of the old man. Does that make sense? The old man, if it insists to persist, let's say it that way. If the old man refuses to repent, it won't repent, it won't repent, it won't repent, it won't repent. What does it become? A man of sin, a son of perdition. Because Judas was our perfect example. If you read 2 Thessalonians 2, I'll just do it for you. Okay, you can go read it yourself. When that day will not come, the day of judgment, the day of the Lord, the day of the glory, the revelation of Jesus Christ will not come, which is all the book of Revelation. It will not come until there be a falling away first. The man of sin is revealed. And when he is revealed, it's magnified so that the glory of God can come down and judge him. Okay? But if you've already been judged in the old man and you've repented of the nature of Adam, you're in Christ now. So who are you at the time of judgment of that man of sin and Satan and the false prophet and Babylon and all of that? Who are you in the time of judgment if you have repented of the old man, Adam, and joined yourself to Jesus Christ? Who are you at that time of judgment in the day of the Lord? You're in Christ. You're in his likeness. Are you the judge now? Are you?
Yes.
When do we rise up in Christ and become the judge rather than the one being judged all the time?
I think they call that the first resurrection.
There you go. You want to rise with Christ so that you can be one with him to help judge all that Satan that has fully manifested now. Is Satan in the old man? Absolutely. Could you call the old man the man of sin? I would never hesitate to do it. But there are differences. The old man, he is definitely in Paul's writings, I'm going to tell you, in Paul's mindset, he could see the differences. He compared in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, he showed how the old man is at work and how to overcome the old man. You get to the coming of the Lord in Thessalonians, and he shows us how to overcome the devil himself. This Antichrist everybody's been searching for. Does that spirit work in the old man? Yes. But boy, this time of repentance has to be understood. You do not neglect to repent when the Lord shows you a thing that is the nature of Adam. Don't hesitate to repent. Humble yourself before the Lord. Somebody read to me, not in the Bible, read to me from your heart 2 Chronicles 7:14. Dave, you got to speak up, bro. You got it. You are quoting it. You'll forgive their sins and heal them. Okay, so if my people, and called by my name, that doesn't sound like an old man to me, does it? If my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves. Well, we preached this 2-3 weeks ago, right? And do what? Pray and seek my face. You guys are saying some great stuff here. Where'd you get that? This is coming from the heart. That's what you're telling me, right? Seek my face. I mean, you're humble, you're praying, you're seeking the face of the Lord, you're repenting, you're turning from what? Wait, your ways have been wicked? How many says, oh yeah, I've discovered some wicked ways in me, and I've turned from it. Yeah. Yeah. That's why we connected that same prayer to Daniel chapter 9 and showing the humility in Daniel was, man, we're turning from our wicked ways. I'm going to repent right here on the spot. And this is where the Gabriel showed up to show Daniel there's more to the story. There's a man of sin. And so notice what I'm saying here. Even Daniel didn't understand everything at that time. And Gabriel had to show up and say, Daniel, thank you for that repentance. I'm going to cleanse my people, but I want you to know something. There's more to this repentance. There's going to be a time where I need to show you this man of sin, this prince, the one that's going to kill the Messiah. And he's going to have reign for a little time. But don't worry, I'm going to take him out. And in 2 Thessalonians, it says the Lord, the Holy Ghost, allows the man of sin to work for a time until his breath comes and takes him out. But see, we have been working. Now, it's my desire to go into the man of sin in ways that needs to be taught and understood. But here's what I've got to make sure I don't move past too quickly in the church. Have you dealt with this old man? Is everybody established in the new man and have put off the old nature of Adam? Have we at least settled that? Because it's like, I thought putting off Adam was putting off Satan. You could put off Adam and still have to deal with Satan. Notice how I just read to you that he says you have to reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. You have to let not sin reign in your body. Listen, notice, even after dying with Christ, do you still have to die daily and put this body of sin under your feet? So how many of you now have learned to exercise the faith in Jesus Christ to where you can put the body of sin off every day and walk in the anointing of Jesus Christ? Are we there yet? That's what I'm asking. See, it's like, oh, I want to get to the man of sin. I want to get to the day of the Lord. I want to get to the destruction of Satan. Let's go take out the city of Babylon, the mother of harlots.
Be a saint first.
Yeah, let's be a saint first. I love that. That's the title of this message. Let's be a saint first. Write that down, because I will forget it. Keith.
The glory of the Father has to be working in us in order for us to walk in that.
Yeah. The glory of the Father has to be working in us first to walk in that newness of life. See, you can't stand against a Satan power that's so powerful. Rick said he'll blow your skin off. Remember that dream, everybody? If you think for a second that you can stand against the devil so easily, and you're still wrestling around with lies in your mind?
Because his old man in that dream, bro, his old man thought.
There you go.
I'm gonna take this chapter out.
Yeah.
And all he did is open his mouth and about blew his skin off. Because you can't go against that prince in the old man, bro.
You can't.
You will not win.
You won't win.
Nope.
See, the carnal mind, that's why Paul teaches us in those same chapters of the old man, is the carnal mind. If you're in the carnal mind, if you're in that old man, you're deceived. See, you need to overcome these enemies of the old man so that when that man of sin is revealed to you, you can stand against him and be on the Lord's side. You can't just think, I can breeze through this. And just think you're going to take out Satan. Or I'm just waiting on the Lord to do it. Well, listen, don't you want to be counted with the Lord? We know the Lord's got to do it. Listen, everybody, let's get that straight, right? We're never saying that you could ever have the power to take out Satan without Jesus Christ. You need Jesus. And in that, the Lord is so faithful that if we walk in the salvation of a new man, I haven't even dove into that part yet, really, in this teaching. I'm completely already at the max of time. As you can see, this could go on and on. We gotta establish some things. But why did the Lord take us and tell us, humble yourself, I'll heal your land. Humble yourself. And then why did he show us that? How to pray in repentance. Why did he show us that a wilderness is to be tested to get our perception right? Why has he shown us that iniquity has to be removed? Listen, he wants us to walk in the newness of life. And we need to learn that. And until this church, as a congregation, now it's going to work individually, and I want you to put this as a church within you first. But I look upon this church, there's a reason God put us here physically, right? That it's awesome. But if all of our churches within us walk as a new man, what do you think our congregation here in this little town of Hodgkins, what do you think we will walk as a church? In newness of life? Could we all go together or do we have to be delayed? Do we need to go through a wilderness again? While, because there's more doubters in the church than there are new? Or do we have a lot of Joshuas and Calebs in here? Praise God, yeah. Yeah, so we got newness of spirit, Tim. We got newness of life. If we're in Christ, then we're going to now focus on the new man. And I say now, we've been doing that. But my point is God's been establishing this new man the whole time. So it's not like I haven't taught on it or Gary hasn't taught on it or Keith or any of the ministry. We've taught on it plenty. But in teaching this today, it should quicken everything that's been taught, and you should go, I'm a new man. There is no doubt about it. I'm going to walk in newness of life every day. Now, let's go establish the kingdom of God until the man of sin is revealed, and then we'll just overcome him in the hope and faith of Jesus Christ. Judgment's got to come. I mean, I'll tell you, this here to me, what the Lord has done and the pattern that he has took us through, and it's amazing. Now, you're talking about building a church. But I need to know, who's ready to walk in the new man? Who's ready to walk in the new? Are you ready? Have we settled that? Have we settled it in our hearts? That's what I need to know. What's the name of this teaching today? What? Be a saint first. I like that. Be a saint first. If you're a saint first, you're going to have no problem taking the journey. You already dealt with the old man. Can I say it 1,000 more times?
You've, you don't know, that's a resurrection, bro.
Yes, it is.
Coming into sainthood is a resurrection.
Everybody hear that? It's a resurrection, huh? Newness of life, is it here? Newness of life, is it here? Is it here?
Yes.
I mean, I need to hear a little more confidence in that.
Yes.
Okay. Look, I'm okay with this church shouting and hallelujah and let's go. That's good. I'm in. I'm all for it. Matter of fact, scream at the top of your lungs if you want to. In agreement. If you're in disagreement, that's another story. We'll just have to deal with that when it comes, right?
Well, devils did cry out sometimes.
They did. One last thing. Maybe we'll talk tomorrow night. We'll see what happens. You know, I want to share the preaching a lot more. And I know the Lord wants that to happen. But, you know, Judas was an example of this man of sin because there is this whole nother distinction. Did you know that First John said that Satan put it in Judas's heart to go betray the Lord? Ooh, that's because he was a thief and he wouldn't repent. See, he wouldn't repent. He wasn't like Peter. He wasn't like Peter. Peter repented. See? That's the old man being done away with. Peter repented. Praise God. That's us. Judas refused to repent, and Satan filled his heart to go betray the Lord, and then he entered him.
Oh,
that's this man of sin. That's why Paul calls the man of sin the son of perdition, because Satan has entered him now. See, the old man has the natures of Satan, yes. But the old man, yes, he is the servant of sin, and yes, he is the servant of the devil. But I'm going to tell you something. He's still a son of God that God has called to come out of the old. Remember Adam? Adam was a son of God, right? So Adam was the old man, but he was called out of that and repented. Judas never came out. He became the messenger of Satan. He became the Satan image in the earth and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a man of sin. See, you've never done that. You've never done that. Yeah, you've acted like a heathen. Hey, I'm just using the Lord's words. We've acted full of iniquity, but you've like Peter, you've entered into times of denying the Lord. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, a full-blown betrayal where you turn Jesus over to the accusers and have him killed, you've never done that. Not in your manifestations. So do you have opportunity right now not to do that? Yes, you do. Now we're going to overcome the old man, and we're going to rise in Jesus Christ. We're going to walk in newness of life. And when that man of sin is revealed, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stand with the Lord, and we're going to overcome him. Just like Jesus said. Just like Paul said. Wow. Is that not awesome? That is awesome. Before we leave here, do I have any questions? I think we made it pretty clear. We make it pretty clear? Okay, then good. Let's stand up. Now, you've already agreed with me. You've already agreed with me that the old is gone, the new is present. The new is present, is it not? Listen, you're in a new consciousness. If sin arises, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? Don't let sin deceive you to make you think you're still in the old. Does that make sense? Just because sin is present, Paul said, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Everybody got that? How do you do that? But in the power of resurrection and newness of life, you do not let sin reign. So he's saying it'll still be there until what? You got to face the man of sin down the road, and then that sin will be stopped forever. Everybody got that? So it's good. I mean, we got a lot of hope here this morning. And so let's see what the Lord wants to do with this. We'll trust the Lord, because the Lord will teach us along the way how to discern the man of sin when he arises, how to understand all of that. Don't worry about that. I need you to make sure you're walking in newness of life right now. That's what I need. And I need what the Lord needs. So the Lord needs this. That's what I'm telling you. The Lord needs us to make sure we understand we are new, not old. We're new. Okay? Act like a saint. Live like a saint. And let's establish this word, okay? Everybody good? How many can raise your hand and agree and say, I'm a new man? Amen. Amen. Well, good for you. Then you prayed the prayer. So go in peace today, and let's maybe continue on some of these things tomorrow night, okay? God bless you.